Good morning. So Pastor Mike is away with Leslie. They're back in Minnesota visiting family. They'll be back next week for our big 65th anniversary. But he asked me to come and speak this morning. I struggled really. What could I say? What did I want to say to everybody? And it finally came to me about the beginning of last week, that I should talk about something I really know a lot about. And that's me. There's a whole lot of tape on this thing and everything else. I don't know. I'm the guitar player, Chuck. I'm just the pretty face up here. It is Halloween. What? Yours is pretty. It is Halloween, so I wore my Santa Claus costume this morning. Oh, and that's like way ahead of where we're supposed to be. It's all about me. That's right. We're going to talk about me because we all know, right? We all know it's all about me. I mean, that's what the TV tells us, right? You deserve this. This is your right. You have a right to be represented by this attorney and get your due against someone else. You need this. You really need this new thing. You got to have this. You're not going to be happy if you don't have this. It's all about me. That's what society tells us, that everything is about me. Every commercial you see on TV is trying to sell you something because you need it, you want it, you've got to have it. Everything is about us. And I'm led to Philippians chapter 3. By the way, you have all my notes this morning, so if you want to go home, it's okay. Everything I'm going to say has been handed. I sent Chuck the wrong file. So it is all about me that you have all the notes. It's all about me. And so we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. I love Philippians chapter 3, the mountaineer image up there. A lot of people think it's about the race and finishing the goal, getting to the goal of the end of the race. But I like to think of this passage more as climbing the mountain, of being mountaineers. They finally put mountaineering in the Olympics this year, which was really cool, watching people climb up those rock faces and things. But it's all about reaching the summit. It's all about getting to the goal that God has called us for. But first he starts out with, it's all about me. And I'm just going to start in on verse 4. Paul says, although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. So Paul's listing all his accomplishments, all the things that he's done, all the things that would make him have confidence in the flesh. And I want to ask you, go back to verse 4, look at it there. If anyone has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, what do you have a mind to put your confidence in? Some of us look to our accomplishments, like Paul. Look, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin, as to law. I'm a Pharisee. A lot of us have a lot of accomplishments we could look to, a lot of things that we can be proud of, that we've done, that we've accomplished in our life. Others sometimes look to our failures. Well, it's because of this that I didn't get what I want. It's because of this I didn't get the position I wanted. Paul even mentions, if you look at what he says, he even mentions a couple of his failures. He says he was a persecutor of the church. Paul went out and had Christians thrown in jail. He was there when Stephen was stoned to death. And even his own righteousness, he says, which is in the law. You know, he's so proud of his accomplishment in the law. Some people look to the future. They might say, well, someday, one day, this is all going to happen. One day I'll be famous. One day I'll be rich. One day I'll have everything I want. And so they look sometimes, too, at what they don't have. Or they look at what others have and they don't. And it brings out feelings of wishing and wanting. I wish I had that. I wish I had what he had. I want that. I need that. Because why? Because it's all about me. And what I want. And what I need. We look at our stuff and we look at our positions and we look at how many likes you have on Facebook. We look everywhere trying to find that thing in the flesh that we can have confidence in. But if it's all about me, then why am I not happy? Why doesn't everybody else see how great I am and want to give me things and want to do things for me? Why don't I have everything I want? And why don't... So I do a lot of wishing and a lot of hoping. And we spend our whole life that way. And many, many people do spend their life that way. And I got to put this in there. Even Christians, those who proclaim the name of Jesus, spend a lot of time wishing and hoping for things for themselves. There are a lot of televangelists who want to tell you that you deserve this, that God has to give it to you. If you pray, then God has to answer your prayer. God has to give you what you want because you're his child. Those are half-truths. And I'm sorry to say that they don't come from the Word of God. They come from the mouth of people trying to sell us something that they want us to buy, something they say we need. But there comes a day, I think, in most of our lives and everybody's life when they get to that point where, why don't I have what I want? Why am I not happy? What's wrong? What's going on? And you come to a point where you kind of begin to figure it out. So it's all about me. I'm supposed to be using this thing, huh? So there's Philippians 3, 4, 5. It's all about me. It's all about me figuring out. Figuring something out. What do I figure out? The time comes when you have to start figuring out something. And Paul mentions this in Philippians 3, 7 through 9. So you can read along with me there because everything you have is everything I have, you have. Philippians 3, 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Hopefully in every one of our lives there came that moment when we needed to figure it out, and God in his mercy and in his grace whopped us up beside the head and said, here, this is what you need. This is exactly what you need, and this is all that you need right here. And so Paul says that it's the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord. There comes a moment when we have to accept and realize and embrace Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. And it comes in verse 9, it comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul had that figure it out moment on the road to Damascus, right? He was on the way. He was still in his persecute the church mode. But on the road to Damascus, he ran face to face, literally, into Jesus Christ. Knocked him off his high horse. Said, Paul, figure it out. You need me. It happened to Peter when they were in Caesarea and Jesus had been preaching and they'd been following Jesus for quite some time. And Jesus finally said, "Who do you say that I am?" And they were still figuring it out, right? So, well, some say you're Elijah. Yeah, or some say you're the prophet, or some say you're a great teacher. But Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" And what was Peter's answer? "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And it happened to me. Praise the Lord. It happened to me on Easter in 1975 when Joni, my beautiful, wonderful wife-to-be, used that 2x4 up the side of my head and said, "What do you think is going to happen to you when you die?" And I spouted all kinds of New Age philosophy and mumbo jumbo, and I was trying to convince not only her but myself that I knew the answer, that I knew it was all about me. But that night in Easter, I had to bow my head and say, "Jesus, if you're real, please show me." And he did. And I figured it out. Figured out I needed Jesus. It's not all about me. It's about him. It's about knowing him. And so, in fact, you've got the notes. You don't need these slides. It's all about me. It's all about me figuring out that it's not all about me. Now, that sounds kind of paradoxical. I have to figure out that it's not about me. But it's not. It's not about me. It's about Jesus, and it's about not just our salvation, but continuing on in that vein. He says in Philippians 3:10, Paul says, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on, so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." It's not all about me. And it's not even about me at all. Once I accept Jesus as my Lord, once I recognize and I give my life to him, it's no longer my life. I've given it away. I've given it to Jesus to do with whatever he chooses, whatever he pleases, however he wants to use me. Now, I don't often hear his voice correctly. I mess up as I try to follow, but I realize it's not about me anymore. It's about Jesus, my Lord. In Mark 8:34, Jesus summons the crowds with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must do what? Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" So all those accomplishments, all those failures, all those things you want to look back on as to why things are the way they are right now in my life, all of that, Jesus says, forget that. Forget that. Pick up your cross and follow me. And that just means deny yourself. It's not about you. It's about me. It's about the gospel. It's about being like Jesus. If we went back to Philippians 1:21, Paul starts at the beginning of this letter to the Philippians and says, "For me to live is what? For me to live is me. For me to live is myself. For me is to have everything that I want. For me is to be rich and wonderful in this world. He doesn't say that, right? You've already said it. For me to live is Christ. My life is hid in Christ. I am his and he is mine. And I need to be like him and follow him and hold tight to him, as Paul says in these verses. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. It's all about, it's not about me, it's all about knowing and being known by Jesus. So Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. That I may know him. And this word here for know is the deep knowledge that you have of someone that you're intimate with, that you know so well, that you've been with all your life. Maybe like a husband and wife that know each other, or like good friends who've been friends since they were kids know each other. It's that kind of knowing. This isn't just knowing about Jesus. A lot of people know about Jesus. A lot of people can even do things Jesus asks them to do. Fortunately, Jesus himself says, depart from me. Why? Because I never knew you. You knew all about me, but you didn't know me. And that's what our life now in Christ, once we've come to the cross, is about knowing and being known by Jesus. I need to be in intimate fellowship with Jesus Christ daily. All the time. And the only way I'm intimately in fellowship with Jesus is right here, folks. If you're not intimate with this book, then I don't think you're really working and striving towards being intimate with Jesus. It's all about knowing and being known by Jesus. It's all about pressing on. Pressing on toward that for which I was laid hold of by Jesus. Look at verses 11 and 12. In order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on. I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. And there's that picture of a guy climbing the mountain, and who's at the top? Who's already there? Jesus is already there. And what's he doing? He's reaching out to lay a hold of us. And we should be reaching up to lay a hold of him for what he's already laid a hold of us for. It's all about pressing on towards that goal of being laid hold of by Jesus and laying hold of him, of reaching up and straining towards the goal, striving or straining towards the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So verses 13 to 14, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, because it's not about me anymore, it's about him. One thing I do, I forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. Again, reaching up, reaching forward, straining and striving to be with Jesus and to be like Jesus. For I think that is what it means when it says, when it calls us to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. What is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus on our lives right now? If it was all about salvation, and I'm not downplaying salvation in any way, but if the work was done when we were saved, we should have all gone to heaven already. The work's done. The work's over. But the work is not done. The work is not over. Not only in my life, but in the lives of everyone I come in contact with. The work of God is still going on. The work of God, we should be seeing it around us all the time. Why? Because the work of God in my life, the upward call of God in my life, in Christ Jesus, is for me to become more and more and more like Jesus. When people look at me, they should see Jesus. When I look in the mirror, Unfortunately, I'm looking back. But when I look in the mirror, what I should see is Jesus reflected in me. I need to be more and more and more like Christ. And as Paul says, I haven't got there yet. Not that I have already obtained it or already become perfect, but I press on. I want to be more and more and more like Jesus in my life. That is the upward call of God. God is calling you upward to be like him. Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter 1. And you have it all printed out there, so you can follow right along with me. 1 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God has given us everything we need pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. He has called us. We need to know him. 4, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promise, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust, all those things about me. I need, I want, I must have. Everybody else needs to bow to me, the worldly lusts. So in 5, he says this, now for this very reason, applying all diligence, pressing on, striving in your faith. So he starts with faith, but now he says, add this. To your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. In your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Jesus was love incarnate. That is the upward call of God in our lives. To be love. To be loving. To be kind. To be merciful. To be gracious to others. To reflect and show the life of Christ in our life so that others see it and go, what is that? Why are you so nice? Why don't you care about stuff? Don't you want this latest gizmo? Don't you want 3 million likes on Facebook? What's wrong with you? Why aren't you like the rest of us? Because God has his hold and his grasp on me. And I want to be more and more like him in everything. For if these qualities, 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. And so, like Peter, I would say, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present within you. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. That's not me. That part's not about me. It was about Peter. As also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you'll be able to call these things to mind. Brothers and sisters, let's really work on figuring out that it's not about me at all. It's all about Christ. It's all about reflecting his love to the world around us. It's all about having those qualities in me that we all see in Jesus and using those to impact the world around us. I've learned one thing so far. Hopefully, I'll learn more. I've learned that the closer I draw to God, that the more that I focus on Jesus and who He is, the more that I understand what He has done, the more that I am grateful and thankful and acknowledge what the Spirit is doing in my life, then that's the more I fall in love with God. I keep my eyes focused on Him. I try to. I want to, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, keep my eyes focused upon Jesus and who He is and what He's done. Because when I do that, that's the more I fall in love with Him. It's the more I'm able to love others. The closer I get to God, believe it or not, this is weird, but the closer I get to God, the closer I get to Jesus, the more I focus on Him, the better able I am to love other people. And the less I'm focused on me. It's not all about me. It never has been. It never will be. It's all about me knowing Christ and loving Him with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and others as myself. Father, thank You for this morning. Thank You for this reminder. God, that as we go through a world and we live in a world where we're bombarded daily, hourly, minute by minute, with everybody telling us it's all about You. It's all about what You need. It's all about what You want. You've got to have this new product. You've got to have this new thing. You. God, help us to remember that it's not about me. It is about You. It's about You, our Heavenly Father, our gracious Redeemer, our merciful King, the Lord of my life, the Master who gets to direct me, guide me, lead me. God, help me to keep my eyes focused upon Jesus Christ, the author and the perfecter of my faith. Because in reality, there is nothing better than You. Nothing better than You. Let's stand and sing.